March 25th, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise Murad Speak Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is al-Islam. The tafsir of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 62 Ayah 9, call to prayer, leave off business. Nasanai to Rasanin, and it is a reference to spirit. So Jews in the history of the people of the book were first before the Christians. And the Jews were a people who needed a spirit of God to come into them so they could be directed to their contract with God or covenant with God. And the Christian, not the Christians, but the people who converted to Christianity, they were a people formed and ready to receive God already, spiritually, having spirit. And God chose to inspire the Jews. We have that in Mount Sinai. Moses went up to Mount Sinai. And the Mount Sinai is called Turah Sinai. And it is a reference to spirit. So the Jews are brought to go seek God. They have a covenant with him by spirit. When we think of Christians, we think of Europeans who accepted Christianity. They were the first to accept Christianity. Europeans, the Greeks and the Romans and other Europeans embraced Christianity. So there were people who had to get Christianity not direct by inspiration of spirit from God. They had to get it from the sound of the words. And we have the expression now, the word has a ring, a familiar ring. So they had to get it from the sound of the word. And Muslims were not to be in either situation where he had to search to find God and get a spirit in us to find God. I mean, Muslims of the world, not just blacks. The people, I should say, people at the time of al-Islam, the revealing of al-Islam, they were in a state where they weren't in the state, pardon me. They would say these people need the spirit of God in them. The world had much of the spirit of God in it, but the world was not in the right shape. And the Christians had already indulged the world and tried to get the message. The sound means the message in the world. So when the church has the ringing bell, the ringing bell is still there preserving the idea of them as a people who had to get guidance from the listening to sound. They listened to the words and they found connection for the two. I wish I had the time. I would be surprised. You would be surprised. This language is universal. It's not limited to any one language. And if I had the time, I could convince you. If you're intelligent and stay rational, I could convince you that what I'm saying is true. the language is universal, and the sound will connect meaning for you. Not all the time, but many words have sounds similar to another word. And it will so happen at certain times or for certain situations, it will so happen that the sound, that the common sound reveals something to you. So when you get the help from the two words, you get the help from the meaning in this word, you get the help from the meaning in this other word that sounds similar. So then you will get help from that. And the meaning will come to tell you, to reveal something that was hidden when those words were separated or separate, and the common sound hadn't brought those two together. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to struggle like that. The Christian leaders, they were 300 years trying to settle an argument, reading scripture, and they were blessed to be helped by the sound 300 years before they came to a conclusion. And when they came to a conclusion, they came to the wrong conclusion. They had a majority had come to the wrong conclusion. The Eastern Church did not accept the conclusion that they came to. So the Greek Eastern Church. So what is the nature of the vine? What is the nature of man? What is man's nature? What is God's nature? What is the nature of man? What is divine nature? For three centuries, finally, they came to a conclusion. Yes. Now, he mentioned that we don't have the horn or the bugle or the trumpet, and we don't have the bell. But we must have a human being. Bilal was the first one given the call with the human voice. Hayya ala salat, Allahu Akbar, first to the end. Hayya ala salat, hayya ala halat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. So it is the human voice. The human voice, what does that tell us? It tells us to bring it to a quick conclusion. I'm going when I go this. When I do this, pardon me, God has evolved man and he has aided man on the path of his progress or evolution with his spirit. First his spirit, then his words. And then the man speaks. Peace. Assalamu alaikum. The Quran Surah 64, Ayah 3, God made your features excellent. Revelation 2:17, hair white wool. So your hair is not made for the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. The climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together like a mat. What happens is this. When the moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair. That serves to keep your precious head cool in the hot climate. Water is a cooler. We're just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problem before going into our subject. What is a coolant? Black effects of color. White reflects color. You might say black is not a color. No, black is not a color. But in the effects from color being absorbed into each other or taken in, what we call white is the effects of color being reflected all together. So in the creation and the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scale, we see the colors of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing to the physical eye. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 3, major picture, excellent. We are first made aware of our common life of excellence that we have and share with all people. God tells us in our holy, he made our design and he made it most excellent. The Arabic, according to our holy book, the better and the best identity that he gives us is our human identity. That is to be understood in the aim for excellence in human nature. God creates us. Racial, national identity, not less, lasts forever. So he created us for human excellence. And this is our common heritage that we have, and we should care more about the common heritage than we do about the color of our skin or the nation that we came from, etc. Because these things are temporary. The racial classification is temporary. They're not going to last forever. And also, the national classifications are not going to last forever. But what God will receive if we are blessed to survive is physical world. What God will receive is our human soul in its excellence. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 3, God made your features excellent. We give black inferiority. So we do have a color problem, brothers and sisters. It has been bred into our minds so long, from generation down to generation, until now we just live black inferiority. We can talk black superiority, but because of this being in the core of our minds and spirit, we live black inferiority. And it's time to wake up. Head nappy is good. How often have you seen a black flag wearing brother or sister in our community? He is the one who even wants his dress shirt to be black, red, and green. He wants his socks to be black, red, and green. He'll come out with some water glittering shoes that are black, red, and green. He wears a knitted cap, black, red, and green. He's black, black, through and through. Yet when he talks, he says, yes, she's got good hair. She's so fine. What he means to say is that he has nappy hair or kinky hair. Whether he says that, he has bad hair. So he means that she has straight hair when he says she has good hair. I don't see people when they are buying fabric in the fabric market, picking up material and saying, give me a piece of that bad carpet, or give me a piece of that bad cloth. They say that they would like to have this woolen nap rug. It's not bad when they're referring to it off of their own body. But when it's on their own body, they say that is bad hair. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 138, Baptism of Allah. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah seek you in mother's womb. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah shape you in the womb as he pleases. Revelation 1, 14 to 15, hair white wool, bees burnt brass. So nappy hair cooling is a hot climate. Who has taught you that it's bad? What is bad about it? It is good, strong hair. It protects your head. The book says of Christ that his hair was white like lamb's wool. But the Christ on the cross that we see and cherish, his straight cherish, has straight, stringy hair. Why do you say your hair is bad and kinky? You should stop using the white man's comb. He made a comb for his hair. Go and get yourself a comb for your hair. You neglected your hair so long that it doesn't even look healthy to you. It's just like a nice, beautiful, attractive, nappy rug that you go to the store and buy today that you care nothing about. So if you leave trash on it, if you let anybody walk in off the dirty streets and track mud all over it, and if you never vacuum it, pretty soon it is going to be ugly and unattractive. So when you brought that nappy rug, it was pretty. Your nappy hair is also pretty when it comes here, but you start neglecting it. I don't care how nappy your hair is. If you could clean it and take care of it and give it half the attention that you give the Christian or the Caucasian hair, it will be clean, pretty, become to you, healthy and strong. Your hair is not made for the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. So your hair is tight together, like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair that serves to keep your precious hair cool in a hot climate. Water is a coolant. So we are just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problems. Before going on to our subject, water is a coolant. We're just talking about this kind of reasoning with color problems before going on to our subject. So color with the color of righteousness. So we have to first see what is wrong with the world to understand the subject. Remake the world. Let's take a look at the nature itself, and see if we see color superiority in nature. The earth is many colors. I have been blessed to travel outside of the parts of the world into the east and into the south and in the Caribbean, Africa and Asia. I have looked at the soil and I found some soil black, some gray, some even white, red, and different shades. I came back home and I thought it over. I said that the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad's wisdom is truly great. He said in one of his books that the color of the universe is the sun. Being human, a creation or a product of the divine spirit. Divine scripture. So he spoke with a language that was the same as that language we find in the scripture. He spoke in the language of symbolism, but he spoke great wisdom. He's telling us in that book that the sun gives color to earth and all the colors are in the sunlight. So we know that when we see the rainbow after the rain, when the sun is still shining and the clouds have passed, but the mist is still in the air from the heavy rain, we see in that mist the preparation of the sun rays, the rainbow that travels the six basic colors, that reveals the six basic colors. When we look at the soil of the earth, we see of the sun. Black affects of color, white reflects color. You might say black is not a color. Black is not a color. Black is the effects from color being absorbed into each other or taken in. What we call white is the effects of color being reflected altogether. So in the creation and the earth, we see white and we see black. In color scales, we see the color of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing the physical eye. Again, I thought and I reflected on the Holy Quran, where it describes how the color runs together at the top of some mountain and in the rocks. Then I saw a great lesson and a great beauty, and this from the Holy Quran. But I won't go into this. I'll keep moving. So one day, just for the fun of it, I decided to just think on color in nature. Right away, I asked how the white man could think that everything white is pure. Magnets are white. And no white man would tell you a cup of magnets is pure. Then I thought about the fly. I said, I've seen black flies and white magnets. I have told you these things to say this. It is not the color of the material. It is the color of that lives in and rules over and directs the material. So we are told both by the Holy Quran and Bible to color ourselves with the color of righteousness. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven heaven prophets, similar from the earth. Metzalehuna, higher sensitivity created above, will and obedience in man, inherit nature. Then he becomes conscious. Seven major prophets, man, in those graduations, their sensitivity in man. Then a conviction. God wants it to conform to a logic. Trust, where sensitivity becomes a conviction. God connected prophets' reality with the external reality. Show them the basis of their nature. Sensitivity in the external world. Their color conviction was so strong. See them out of us. These are no more than expressions fulfilling themselves that God created in man. The inner potential of man finding its place in the external world. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven ways above and like in the earth. Bukhari, Volume 1, page 345. Seven prophets, heaven. One, Adam. Two, Jesus, Esau. Three, Yusuf, Joseph. Four, Idris. Five, Aaron. Six, Musa, Moses. Seven, Abraham. The seven refers to the natural step of growth that takes place in the conscience of the individual. They are seven major prophets in us. They lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow, because the leader, he says, represents what is inborn, inherent, innate in us. Allah gives every person, nature urged for excellence and social maturity. So the one striving with the God-given direction in his nature is the one Allah should make the leader for all the rest and for all times to come. Six, seven numbers. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12. Seven above and similar in the earth. Bukhari, page 4, 429. Seven heavens the prophet visited. 1 Samuel 2, 5. The barren has borne seven. They that were filled have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry see. So that the barren has borne seven, and she that have many children is wax fleable. 1 Samuel 1:20. Hannah birthed Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:21, Hannah, three sons, two daughters. Revelation 13:18, number of the beast is 666. So man-child is birth of mind of a prophet. So the birth of a prophet is the birth of an inspired person, a divinely inspired mind. And when this type of person is born in the society that never had one like that, in the old ancient society, they refer to that person as a birth of a male or a man-child. But when they were saying man, they weren't referring to flesh. They were referring to the mind, the man that God desired, when he said, I'm going to make me a man. So Hannah birthed Samuel, Hannah three sons, two daughters, Hannah child called Samuel. Seven not quantitatively, but seven qualitatively. So that mind that God desires for his human being is the thing that they are referring to in the book when they say that she gave birth to a man child. This Hannah, when you read this in Samuel, you will see that the Hannah did not have seven children. She didn't have any children. But Hannah finally gave birth to one child whose name is called Samuel. And when she gave birth to that child, she said that God now has given me seven children. How now is it interpreted that way that the one child is seven? Seven is a mystic and spiritual religious number, not meaning seven quantitatively, but seven qualitatively. So this child has developed up seven rings of quality. He passed from one quality to another quality through seven, and now he is like seven children, because there are many who come, and they do not get but one of these. Here is one child with all seven. So his number is given, seven, and she felt as though she had seven children. Not that she had seven physical children, but she had one inspired child. That society had one son amongst them, meaning one prophet, one enlightened person amongst them who had the divine knowledge, and that knowledge is described as the knowledge of seven, or God's knowledge. So I, seven looks for good and seven looks for bad. And we see the seven in the early part of Genesis, when God says that he made the heavens and the earth, the man and everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Again, we run into this when we read in the Bible, that there are eyes that go throughout searching the earth. They are of two classifications. One are the eyes of the Lord. They are seven that goes out searching the earth to help the righteous. Those are struggling for righteousness, to build them up, to encourage them. And then there are seven more that goes out to tear down. So 666 mean materialized in senses, morals, and mind. Number of the beast is 666. Now, one of these seven has to be false. Both of them have the seven. So here is a society or group that has gotten into the divine society and has gotten the divine classification, but they are not doing the job of divine. They are doing the job of six. And the book says, he who has wisdom, count the number of the beast, for his number is 666. He was not just six once or twice. He grew to be six three times. So his senses materialized. The senses are in the flesh. His moral form materialized. And his mind materialized. So he was even in spirit materialized. So he was materializing all of this. Three forms. Where is that breath? Right out here. the one who had only the 1/6, he's been dead long time ago. Noah's flood killed him. But that one who was revived, he's still around here. Now 666, and he's in the lake, and the lake is a fire. So Quran Surah 66, Ayah 6, save your family from fire. The need for a hero Allah made. Our parents, children used to take their trade from the father or uncles, relatives, other people who had passed down their skills and trade. That's how we had the glide trade union. It's nothing but tradition that was established by parents. And now the unions have taken them over. Children don't have industrial, cultural heroes, so they go to the gang for their style of life. Leadership, because there's no heroes in the house anymore. So Quran Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. The devil advises children now not to listen to parents or religious teaching, and to make up their own mind. The result is that we have a rebellious and defiant youth. God has put it in the nature of the creature to believe. The overwhelming majority, because in normal conditions, the majority is right. But at the end of the world, Satan creates an unnatural situation and makes the majority his subjects. Satan says you are your own judge, and by doing so makes you feel inferior or subhuman intellect. If that youth allows a parent or a moral upright person to lend advice to that youth's life. So the system says to the little girl, do not worry about obeying parents or religion. They give out contraceptives to induce this behavior. Children who choose the world over parents who have worked hard to show them the right way to reject, put out after they are grown, keep them until they're grown, then put them out. Our parents in the South would do this. The Quran Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 107, hell dwell as long as heaven, earth exists. Bukhari, page 1, page 7, pardon me. Page 7, 7, 17. Hell comes out, La ilahi. So many people weep over some family member that has perhaps transgressed so far that the person has put themselves in hell. We don't have the power to pull out any dwellers of hell. The individual must make the change themselves. Hell is eternal, conditional. The person can go to hell, but if there is something good in the nature, strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling that person out of hell one day. The Quran Surah 66, Ayah 6, hellfire, blind passion, passion into destructive nature. When fire is done with a thing, what is left? Smoke, where is the form? Fire bends, twists, changes the form. Human nature is the same way. If you let your desire, passion, go to the extreme where they become self-destructive, you've given yourself to the fires of hell. Three-pronged fork. One, stick you in your passion, fish, flesh, to pain your body. Another, to pain your mind, to pain your spirit. The devil puts you in the fire of your own wild, extreme passion. Your unnatural love for things that you shouldn't love anyway. The world is designed to throw you into a furnace of self-destruction and burn you up with your own nature. You have the wildness in your nature, if you don't control it, it will burn you up. When you live to the extreme and forget the moral right in your relationship. Does hell last forever? What is forever for a human? Yes, for a disobedient, hell-bound soul, Allah says forever. In one place and in another says, for as long as he wills. So it will be forever to you. But Allah will eventually change everything. It all will perish except his faith. But according to your own mind and thinking, yes, it'll be forever. So the Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, save yourself and family from a fire. Family, community, the Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, save yourself and your family. El Hadith, page 1307 and 100, Allah hand on group. Genesis 5:2, call them Adam. 1 Corinthians 12:12, Christ's body. Romans 12:4, Christ's body. Genesis 5:2, Adam single and plural. Support family, not individual. Now we want to support family, neighborhood, communities. And that means also support individuals. Individuals don't live outside of families or outside of communities. The only way for the individual to live is inside of families or inside communities. Don't have your program to help individuals unless you are a doctor or something that is different, administering medicine. You have to tell, you have them come one by one. But if you want to help the social life, the community life of people, then help community life and you will also help individuals because those individuals live in communities. Usually the problem for the individual is the problem for his community. They don't exist separately. They are always together if there is a big problem for us employing our youth today. That's not a problem of our youth. That is a problem of our community. So I'm meeting with leaders in religious Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and others, Buddhists. That's what most of them are saying, that we have to address the country and contribute to the betterment of the community. We have to address family life, and we have to serve the establishment of good family. I believe this is what God wanted us to do from the very beginning. God put our eyes on families and on human beings living in community. Adam singular and plural. Adam himself, if you understand scripture, very suddenly identified Adam not as one man only. In one context of the scripture, Adam is identified as one man only. And in another context of the scripture of the same book of Genesis, Adam is identified as a plural person. He is seen as a person representing, depicting a figure, and then depicting a group of community people in great numbers, male and female, it says. He created God, male and female, he meaning God created them and called them Adam in the day that he made them. So this is Genesis, I'm quoting. Now, how are we to understand that? Here is a man called Adam, and he was made one single person. But later God addresses him not as a single person, but as a plural body. And we have heard the term the Adamic people, or the Adamic race, meaning that we are all of us are Adams. So Jesus, second Adam. So if you understand it, Jesus is supposed to be in some Christian school of thought. He is presented as the second Adam. I've never gone to a seminary. I've never gone to any Christian institution to be ordained and ministered, but I feel like I can do a better job than most preachers that I hear in my neighborhood preaching. If I wanted to preach Christianity, I believe I would survive or I would serve the gospel a little better than most of them. That's what I believe. Now, that's not my religion, so I'm not going to do that. And I respect those who are doing that, and I don't want to interfere with their work. And what I'm saying is what preachers, if they are in the audience, know the Bible, what they will agree to, they would say, yes, he's correct. Call them at him. So Jesus came in the Bible, peace be upon the prophet. And he also presented himself not as one person, but also as a plural body member in Christ. That's what he said. You are members in Christ. You are members, the members in Christ. So here are people now seen as Christ's body, seen as it was for Adam. So the same idea or the same logic that is found in Genesis about the singular person and the plural person, we find it also carrying over into the New Testament, addressing Jesus as a single body, but also as a plural body, which tells me that God doesn't want us to get our minds off of ourselves as a society or as a community, but wants us to see ourselves as a community. Allah hand on group. So they have an expression among the teachers of Islam, the learned, and they say it is a saying of the prophet himself. It goes like this. It says that the control of God is on the community, the collective body of people. The control of God is on the collective body of people. Alas, jamaati, ella jamaati, for those who speak Arabic, the control of God is on the collective body of people. And how do they explain what that means? How do they explain that? They explain that by saying that God holds all the people accountable, and he holds them accountable in society or in community life. That's how he holds you accountable. If you come out of community life and you said, oh, I don't want to belong to the society of human beings anymore, I want to be a recluse, I want to be a hermit, I want to be a saint living away from people, well, you are taking yourself away from God's concern. The individualism is not God's concern. The concern for human beings is to have them live together as families and communities and to support each other for the betterment of their families, for the betterment of their community. So this is what God wants from day one to this present time. Family authority, the Quran Surah 4, Ayat 35. Marriage arbiter, the Quran Surah 8, Ayat 75. Family rights. God wants us to live with our family in a family unit, family organization, to have respect for family authority. Families should have authorities over families. Muslim law respects family authority, says if we have a problem between husband and wife, God says, get witnesses from her side, of the family, and get witnesses if they can't settle the family affairs, the matter, get witnesses from her side of the family, and get witnesses from his side of the family, and bring them together to solve the family problem. So here God respects family and the power of family to live in peace and preserve their place and keep their peace. God respects the family authority, the family organization, so much that it tells the leader in Islam We can't impose our own judgment upon family. We have to bring the family together. So we have to listen to what the families are saying if they want us to be with them in counsel. There is nothing in the Quran that says an imam has to be with them. They can meet together and solve their own problems. So here is a religion that goes directly to the individual, male and female, and tell you how God wants you to run your life. And when the prophet told us of God, they said, this is a legitimate quote. I'm not sure, so I'm putting it as I see them, but I don't know it is acceptable. It's a sound statement that stands up now, whether the prophet said it or not. I haven't searched the quote enough to know that he really said this, but the authority said he said it, that he controlled, that the control of God is on the collective body, on the group of people. So it means that he holds us individually responsible. We belong to a collective body. We belong to a family. Family members will be held individually responsible according to our religion. And I believe it's yours too, according to our religion. God will hold the members of that family individually responsible. The father, if he's living, he will be held responsible for the things that he neglected, that he saw going wrong and wouldn't straighten up. If he saw the family needing help and wouldn't answer them, he is going to have to be held responsible. So the mother, if she's neglecting, she's going to be held responsible. Children, don't think you're excused. If the child, the daughter, the son, was in a family and didn't value that family and didn't respect the family interest, saw things hurting the family and didn't answer the call of the family, those children will also be answerable to God. Even if they are minors, they will be answerable to their parents in this world as minors, but when the judgment of God comes, they are going to be answerable to God for how they disrespected their family, how they disrespected their family interests, how they disrespected mama, and they disrespected daddy, how they disrespected the sisters or the brothers, how they disrespected the property of the family, how they disrespected the personal property of that their mamas entrusted them with. So this is going to hold them accountable for all of that. And I'm a student of the universe. I study nature and how things evolve. And believe me, I see a logic in the universe itself that tells me, yes, God is going to do that. So much for that. Human family, Adam. All of that is to say this family is not a small matter. Family is a big matter. This whole world began with a family. So that's the belief of people who receive revelation from God by way of the prophets. So we believe that this whole world has populated by one family that was the family of our first parent, Adam. Adam had a wife, a mate. And Adam and his mate produced the first children. And that was the first family, and the first family is what God created. And all of us have come from those pre-creators, those original parents of ours. All of us have come from them. So if all of us have come from them, then it's easy to understand the statement, human family. All human beings are really one family. We are the family of the first parent, Adam, and the Christian says Eve. So Adam and his mate. So we are all the descendants of Adam and his mate. And that was the first family according to Revelation, Bible, and Quran. And the people of the book, that according to that relation that we identify with you, that man began as one family on this earth, and all other families, all other nations, communities came out of that family. So we say came out of that family means we came from an orientation that God put the family on. But does that mean we are really outside that family in terms of our genetic belongings? No. Genetically, we still belong to the one family. Genetically, we are Adam and the first father. We have his genes in us. Impossible for us to be otherwise. So his genes are in every one of us. His blood is in every one of us. His flesh is the flesh of every one of us. Impossible to believe otherwise. I said impossible to believe otherwise. If you accept Revelation, if you accept Bible, Muslims, if you accept the Quran, then it's impossible to believe otherwise. So we want to talk more about family and community. I want to look at the neighborhood. When I say community, I am talking about neighbors. So you know the neighborhood? Neighborhood and ethnic communities, like African Americans, we live mostly together. Where we live, in Chicago, from the African American community, African American ethnic community. Then you will find the Polish people and Irish people and others now. We have a big number of the Arabs and the Indians from Asia living in Chicago and in Chicago suburbs. So they represent a big population too now, grossly growing, vastly growing population, and a big one. So all of these are ethnic communities. We have so many ethnic communities. In Chicago and in the West, California, some areas of California, the people are so mixed until it's stupid to think about your race. It's absolutely stupid because you're just one. You're just like a little, you know, if you put pepper and salt and curry and all that, you know, about 20 spices, and you sprinkle it on something, and one little piece of spice is going to say, I'm curry. Hell, who cares? Who cares? When I eat, I don't even taste you. So many other spices here, it takes a scientist to identify you. So you know food specialists to identify you? Yes. So who cares? And that's the way this America is becoming. Not only California is just examples to us of what is a sign to us of what America is becoming. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1 to 2. Allah, he created death and life. 40 Hadith, page 64. 17. Seek excellence in everything. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 47, Immaculate Conception, Jesus created from. Woman, Luke 1, 26 to 35. Immaculate Conception. I would like to begin with a verse from a chapter in the Quran titled Mulk in Arabic. So this word is translated dominion by some translators. And some translators translated the kingdom. Some translated the rule. I would like to elaborate just a second or two on the meaning of mulk. Mulk means that the control over everything in existence, the sky and the earth, everything in existence, all lives, including that control belonged to God, that mulk belonged to God. So I will now read the first verse from this chapter titled Mulk. The control over the universe, it says, blessed be he in whose power is the control over the universe, and he over all things has power. He who created death and life. that he may try which of you is best in works and deeds. In Chicago, we have Reverend Jesse Jackson. And he has, for some time now, has been pushing for excellence in the school, excellence in education. So his organization, as you know, was also called PUSH. P-U-S-H. Once, not so long ago, many a generations or so ago, all Americans believe in excellence. All Americans were taught to believe in excellence. In our home, there was a belief in excellence seen in everything that was done in the home. The mother, she would cook for the excellence. She wanted her pies to taste the best, to be the best. She wanted the rice and the meat, the stew, whatever it was, the chicken, the dressings, whatever it was. She wanted it to be the best. She was a pusher for excellence. The mother and the father wanted the children to have the best manners. They wanted them to have the best character. They were concerned with the quality of their children. America, you know, used to preach excellence. American people were taught to uphold high standards, quality of life. If you perform a job, you were to perform with the respect for excellence. You didn't just want to do a job. You wanted to do an American job. An American job wanted a job meant, pardon me, an American job meant a job that reflects the best skills, the best qualities of work. There are a few companies around now that insist upon excellence. But even those companies have really relaxed their rules. They tolerate a lot of cheap work, inferior work. We don't have to make any long study or any thorough examination of our lives today, of America's life today, to see that America has fallen from the high concept of excellence, from the high principles and standards of life that we once as a nation struggled for, worked hard for. A problem that we have in our community life, a problem that have come about because people are no more driven by principles that desire for excellence in their life. People are careless. People have no standards anymore. People have no fear anymore. People can't be shamed anymore. We have lost a good life, and we complain. Why should we complain so much? Is this what we want? If this life is what we should be happy, we shouldn't complain so much. How can we have strong financial homes, strong financial communities when we are living the life of drunks, playboys, delinquents? We shouldn't expect. Excuse me. Pardon me. We shouldn't expect strong homes, strong communities when we are living a life of drunks, reckless people, respecting no principles, fearing nothing, not even God. So there is proof that we are dissatisfied with the life we have in this very fact that I am here today speaking to you on a subject that you have chosen, reconnect, reconstruct family life. There was concern people want to get the family life back. So we know that we lost a good family life. The thing that we want in the streets has to first be in the home. If we don't have the life we want at home, it's not going to be in the streets. All of us, I believe, realize that the streets aren't safe in most of the big cities. Not only the streets, even the homes aren't safe. They are without protection. So this is, we spend a lot of money on elaborate security systems to protect the house. The iron gates, the iron bars on the doors, iron bars on the windows. change the home and it will change the outer streets. So we lock ourselves up behind bars and we still feel unsafe. Most of us feel this and most of us don't like it. But how can that ugly picture be changed before the street is changed? The street can't be changed without first the life in the home. You might say, well, I'm not one of those dangerous life destructive elements in the community. We live in a decent house, and our home is safe and peaceful. Then it is your duty in the faith of the terrible things that are happening to our lives to come out and help us battle to turn the lives of the many around so that all of us can be peaceful and safe at home. The problem runs way back. It is a very ancient problem. And we are blindly facing the doom. That also goes way back, to which it is an ancient thing that comes around when people without guidance try to manage their own affairs in a world of plenty. If we were living in the desert where there is nothing, we wouldn't have too much to worry about. But we live in a modern city where there is plenty of wealth, where people live very close to each other. Homes are stacked up and on top of each other, almost. The food within reaching distance that is not mine. Clothes that are in reaching distance that are not mine. Plenty of money within reaching distance that are not mine. Plenty of pretty girls within reaching distance that are not mine. So the life is very hard for us without having something that we respect. There has to be control in our life that we respect. That's the only way to exist. We read the history of great nations, Rome, Greece, and the Bible, Babylon, and Netherlands. So we read how those great nations rose to their greatness, enjoyed great wealth and plenty of freedom. At the height of their prosperity or achievement, they started to die, fall down. Often it was no enemy army that came in and attacked them. They defeated them. They just let go of everything and fell down. Dear beloved people, we have to turn to this thing. We have to turn this thing around, even if it's by force, because if we don't turn it around, a small people will take us over, or a big nation will take the whole country. How long do you think the world will sit quietly knowing that the American people are a pushover? If this silly, childish kind of mind continue to grow as it's growing, pretty soon we can't even depend on our army. The people who are there at the push button, pretty soon we won't even, in fact, know. I'm wondering, he might not hear the signal. He might be high. He doesn't know what is going on. All we know is that the American people are degenerating. So there is something regarding the community life of the American people. The family life is retarded. The city life, the cave. The leaders of government are desperate. Saying, well, what can we do? We don't have supporters. The material production can only be so much. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Thursday, inshallah. It only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And tomorrow, our beloved brother Imam Musa Abui, the grandson of the late Dr. Booker T. Washington. So turn him on. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.